Reading John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." And Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." Well, they said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. And so he said to them, "I am going away. And you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" And he said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And so they said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." Now, they did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. And so Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and again how it continues to reveal to us who Jesus is. It reveals to us life in him and what that life is like. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would understand your word this morning, that you would use your spirit to enlighten our hearts and our minds, that you would draw people to yourself, that you would increase our faith. And Lord, you would give us a hope and a confidence in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you, by your power, would preserve us as we walk in the light. Grant us this grace, and we pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, as you can see in this scripture passage this morning, Jesus enters into a bit of a frustrating conversation with the Pharisees. Jesus' whole life and ministry is one that's been questioned and doubted by these men. Despite the things that Jesus has spoken, despite the things that have been spoken about him by the word of God, and despite the miracles and the miraculous signs that Jesus has performed that point to his messiahship, they do not believe. Despite all of these realities and these witnesses, the Pharisees and the Jews as a whole do not believe in him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet we find Jesus once again, because of his merciful heart, because he desires no one to perish, but all to come to repentance, we see Jesus once again declaring who he is. We see him declare that he is the light of the world, the one who breaks into the darkness and the sin and the sadness and the misery of this life. He breaks into this world to bring a life, to bring peace, to bring hope, to bring joy, to bring a knowledge of an experience of everlasting life. And that life and peace and knowledge and joy and experience of everlasting life is found in the light. It's found in Jesus Christ. And in the passage this morning, John wants you to see that. He wants you to see some aspects of what walking in the light looks like. And he wants us to see what life with Jesus looks like. But John does this because of the conversation he's having with the Pharisees. John does this by showing us the contrasting picture of what it's like to walk in darkness. And so he shows us what it's like to be in the darkness, shows us the effects of walking in the darkness, as to call those in darkness to come to the light, and to call us who are in the light to persevere in the light and find joy and rejoice in the light, to rejoice in Jesus Christ, who is our light. And so John's call to you this morning is to see that Jesus is the light of the world and to walk in him. And friends, that's the main point for you this morning. Jesus is the light of the world. Walk in him. Well, the first thing that we see is Jesus identifying that there are really only two ways to walk in this world. And we see him say that in verse 12. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is making it clear in this passage that there are only two types of people in this world. There are those who walk in darkness, and there are those who walk in the light. There's no middle ground. There's no fence riding here. There's no jumping back and forth. There's only sheep or goat, as the Bible says. Wheat or tare, believer or unbeliever. As a matter of fact, the Apostle John, in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 5, picks up on this language that Jesus is using here. And he says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then in the following verses, he goes on to describe the life and existence of those who walk in the light and the seeming life and existence of those who walk in the darkness. There's only two types of people, those who walk in the light and those who walk in the darkness. You see, the world would have you believe that this isn't the case, that there's a way to maintain a religious or neutrality in this world, to be neutral when it comes to matters of faith and religion, that somehow we can remain neither for nor against God, that somehow we could be the Switzerland in the great war between heaven and hell. But these categories, they don't exist in the scriptures. Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. Paul says that you're either in the kingdom of darkness or in the kingdom of God's own beloved Son. I had a seminary professor who would say that a woman can never be just sort of pregnant. She's either with child or she's without child. Can't be both. Can't be somewhere in the middle. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You're either in the darkness or you're in the light of life. And this life-producing light, this light-filled walk, isn't something that can originate in man or comes from man's heart. We know that because of sin, as Jeremiah says, the heart is desperately wicked. We can't generate this light or life on our own. But we were in darkness and sin. But we see Jesus saying that he is the source. He is the light. He is the one who shines in this world, converting souls to follow him. And Jesus says he's the light of the world. He's not a light to just one particular group of people, but he's a light for everybody living in this fallen world. He's a light to the fallen human race, every tribe, tongue, people, and nation throughout the world and throughout history. Jesus is a light for you. He's a light for me. He's a light for all. And John shows us again what this life light walking is like by contrasting it with life in the darkness. Now, as parents, we try very hard, most of us, to convince our children not to be afraid of the dark, right? We put them to bed at night, and they go in their room, and their room's dark, and they're afraid, and we say, there's nothing to be afraid of. The darkness isn't going to hurt you. There are no monsters in your closet. There are no monsters under your bed. You do not need to be afraid of the dark. And yet, when we turn and look at the darkness that's portrayed in the scriptures, it actually is a scary thing. The spiritual darkness which the scriptures identify for us is a frightening and terrifying thing, and it is something we need to be afraid of. And John begins to unfold in this conversation that Jesus has with these Pharisees what this darkness looks like and what it's like to be in the dark. And the first thing he says is, those who walk in darkness do not believe or trust God's word. And you can see that in the conversation that Jesus has with these Pharisees in verses 13 through 20. Upon hearing Christ's declaration about who he is, that he is the light of the world, and really everything that Jesus says, the Pharisees, they reject Christ's words as not being true, as not being valid or authoritative. And the reason being is because they're saying that he's making these claims on his own authority, and there's no one there to back him up. And Jesus is just making this stuff up himself, and no one is there to validate the things that he is saying. And this principle they're gaining from the word of God, at least. God says in his word, Deuteronomy 19:15, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. And so they're saying, Jesus, you're making these claims, but you're the only one who's claiming it. No one else is backing you up, and so we don't believe you. We don't trust your word to be true. And we see Jesus responding to them in two ways. First, he tells them that ultimately it doesn't matter whether they believe his words to be true or not. They still are. They don't need to believe his words in order to make them true. God's word is always true, whether we believe it or not. Jesus knows that his words are true. Verse 14, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. God's word is always true. But secondly, Jesus points out that there is another witness about his declarations, and that's God the Father. And Jesus has pointed this out back in chapter 5, you might remember. He actually points to a lot of witnesses validating his words and validating his authority. He pointed to John the Baptist. He points to the scriptures. He points to the miracles that he does as witnesses to who he is as the Messiah. There's a plethora of witnesses to Jesus Christ. But the ultimate issue isn't the lack of evidence or a verifying authority, but the reason for their disbelief in his words and declarations is because they walk in darkness. Fallen and sinful man will not accept the things of God to be true. And though what can be known about God is plain to them because God has revealed it to them, Paul says, they will not receive it. They will not accept it. They're futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts are darkened. This is man's heart in the dark. Man's fallen mind and heart are by nature hostile to the truths of God's word and will often, if not always, respond contrary to the truth of God's word. And God's word teaches the truth about who he is and what he does. God's word teaches about the fact that he exists. And how does the world respond? No, God does not exist. The Bible tells us that God created the world by the word of his power. And yet the world responds that no, it was just mindless evolutionary process that brought us to be. The Bible says that man was conceived and born in sin. And the world says, no, man is good. The Bible says there's a resurrection after death. The world says, no, you're just worm food. The Bible says there's judgment after death. And the world says, no, you just pass into nothingness. You never really have to wonder what the world thinks about something. Because all you have to do is read what God says in his word and then just assume the opposite. That's what the world thinks. Because the disposition of the fallen human heart is to disbelieve and distrust the word of God. And what sadness and meaninglessness and emptiness results. But not so for the believer in Jesus Christ. Not so for those who are in the light, who walk in the light, who in God's grace has had the light shine upon them. Not so for the follower of Christ. Christ has shined the light in your hearts and you walk in the light so that you embrace God's word as true. And what a blessing that is to us, brothers and sisters, that the Spirit would renew our minds, that we would embrace the word of God as true. Because when you walk in the light, when you see in the light, when you see God's word is true, you can have comfort knowing that there is a sovereign God of the universe who has dominion and control over all things. And he's working everything together to one great purpose. Even in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, God is still in control, and we are not at the hands of random chance or meaninglessness. God's word tells us, because we see it in the light, that we have value and worth, knowing that you've been created in the image of God and you are precious in his sight. Instead of some cosmic accident or at best intelligent animal who came out of the slime with no purpose in this life. We see in God's word, in the light, that we can have joy, knowing that though your sin be as scarlet, it is made white as snow through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. You have a right relationship with the God of the universe because of what Jesus Christ has done. And that is joy-filling truth that you can see in the light. Because of the light, brothers and sisters, you can have hope. You can have hope in knowing that those whom you have loved in this life, who have died in the Lord, like our beloved brother Jim Carson, they're not gone forever. In fact, they live and they reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will see their faces again. We have that hope because we're in the light. And we have assurance because we're in the light, knowing that death is not the end for us. But Jesus Christ grants us everlasting life. What a contrast there is between walking in the darkness and walking in the light, between rejecting God's word as true and embracing it and loving it and cherishing it. When Jesus Christ shines on you, what joy we can have as we walk in the light. So therefore, seek the light. Walk in the light. Live your life and set your minds on the light. Because those who walk in darkness, they do not believe God's word. And therefore, they do not believe the sinful condition that they are in and how desperately they need a Savior. Which results in the second terrifying reality of the darkness. Jesus says that those who walk in darkness, they die in their sins. Verses 21 through 24. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from below, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Again, Jesus speaks to them about his return to the Father in heaven. And once again, he tells them that where he goes, they cannot follow. And he's very explicit this time in telling them why it is they cannot follow him into the presence of God, why they can't follow him into glory and into heaven. And it's because they will die in their sins. And Jesus identifies that they're from this fallen, broken world, and yet he is from above. meaning that he has heavenly life. He has eternal life, which allows him to be and live in the presence of the God of light and the God of life. But the Pharisees are from below. They're from this world, meaning they're part of the fallen reality of things. And as a result, they will die in their sins if they're not rescued. Because apart from Jesus Christ and belief in him, there can only be death. Jesus says, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And friends, this is not just physical death here of which Jesus is speaking. But this is eternal spiritual death. The kind of death you read about in Matthew 10:28, where both body and soul are cast into hell. Or the death you read about in Matthew 25:41, where the ungodly are sent into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Or the kind of death you read about at the end of the book of Isaiah, chapter 66:24, where the wicked who have rebelled against God will exist in unquenchable fire. Or it's the kind of death you read about at the end of the book of Revelation, the second death in chapter 20, where the body and soul of the one who's not found in the Lamb's book of life is thrown into the burning lake of fire, away from the blessed presence of the Lord, to be tormented day and night everlastingly. Friends, think about the most excruciating pain that you have ever experienced in this life. And perhaps for some of you, it seemed unbearable in that moment. And yet, maybe in your mind, there was a moment of relief, a measure of relief, because you knew at some point it has to come to an end. At some point, the pain was going to stop, whether it's through some pain medication or the trial that you were in would end, or just through the passing of time, the pain would subside. I try to tell my kids whenever they're at the dentist or at the doctor, or I even told my wife whenever she was in labor, honey, it's going to stop. Hold on. Hang in there. Keep going. It's going to be over. It's going to end. There's comfort in knowing that it'll stop. But friends, in hell, it will not stop. There is no end to it. The worst possible pain imaginable experienced in both body and soul goes on. It will not last for a moment, but it will persist for more than a day, more than a year. It will persist forever. No end in sight, no escape, no stopping it, no hope for relief. For those who walk in the darkness, there will be no escape, but only experiencing this torment forever. They will die in their sins. What a dreadful, dreadful experience. Does that not motivate you to want to speak to those who do not know Christ? To call them to the light? Because this is not so for you who believe in Jesus Christ. For those who have turned to the light and who walk in the light. Not so for those of you who are in the light and have the light of life, because Jesus Christ, in a matter of hours, drained the cup of God's wrath that was to be poured out upon you. You will not die in your sins because Jesus Christ died in your sins. So that you could walk in the light, so that you could have the light of life. The word of God, Jesus Christ, shines upon you. You have life and joy and forgiveness because of him. Jesus is the light. Walk in him. Those who walk in darkness, they do not believe God's word. Those who walk in darkness die in their sins. But John goes on to show us one more scary reality of walking in the darkness. Those who walk in darkness do not understand the truth. Verses 25 through 27. So they said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." And they did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So just as Jesus had said, they would not believe in him, because if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now they ask him, well, who are you? And I kind of wonder if this was not a real genuine question of who are you, but more of like a question of who do you think you are telling us that if we don't believe in you, we will die in our sins. And you can hear the frustration in Jesus' voice when he answers, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I've told you time and time again who I am. I've told you time and time again who has sent me into this world. I've told you time and time again where I'm from. And time again by whose authority I speak. And yet John tells us they did not understand. The response to Jesus and his words doesn't have so much to do with their rebellion and distrust of his word as it does with the dullness and darkness that sin has brought into their minds and their hearts. They neither recognize or comprehend the importance of Christ's words or that he's the Messiah. To the Pharisees and to all fallen man, Jesus is more of a lunatic than anything else. And this is precisely what the apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. They can't know them. The words of Christ, the demands of the gospel, they make no good sense to those who walk in darkness. They cannot see the value or worth of the word of God, of Jesus, or his message. And so they walk without understanding, without direction. They're lost in this world. But again, not so for those who walk in the light. Not so for those who believed in Jesus Christ, for the one who's been enlivened by the Spirit of God, has the mind of Christ, has the very word of God itself. You receive not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that you might know the things that have been freely given to you by God himself. Because Jesus Christ is the light and he has shined on you, your mind has been enlightened to the knowledge of Christ, that you can see him and know him as he is, both Savior and Lord. Because Jesus, the light, shines on you, you can now walk in the light and you continually gain a better understanding of God's word as the Spirit guides you and leads you. And because Jesus, the light, shines on you and you walk in the light, you know and understand the blessing of God's word and the blessing of the law in your life. How amazing it is that God didn't just save you and then leave you on your own, but God saved you and he's given you how he desires you to live in this world. He hasn't left you in confusion, but he's given you his word to guide you, to bless you, to teach you, to encourage you in this world. We're not left on our own, but the word of God leads us and guides us. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a life to our paths, directing us in all the affairs of our lives. Everything we need for life and godliness is right here. Jesus has given it to us. Apart from him, you'd fumble around in this world trying to make sense of this life. But Jesus is the light, and you have a clear path to walk. Well, John has given us the characteristics of those who walk in darkness. He's told us that those who walk in darkness do not trust God's word, that they'll die in their sins, and they ultimately do not understand the truth. And even so, John tells us that Jesus' witness will be validated. Verses 28 through 30. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. And so Jesus tells the Pharisees here that a time will come when they will see and know that the things he says are true, that the Messiah has been sent by God Almighty and that he is that Messiah, that the words that he has spoken have been given to him by the Father. And he tells them that they will see these things when they lift him up. And by this, he means that whenever they crucify him, when they lift him up, They will see that these things are true. Jesus tells them that his witness will be vindicated whenever he's put to death. And this is precisely what happens, isn't it, whenever Jesus is crucified? God the Father vindicates Christ's claims whenever the sky is turned dark. Whenever there's a massive earthquake and the graves open up and the dead descend into the city. Whenever the veil is split from top to bottom. People begin proclaiming, truly this was the Son of God. Despite their lack of belief, despite the fact that they were going to die in their sins, despite the fact they didn't understand what Jesus was telling them, Jesus' words are still true. His witness will be confirmed and validated and vindicated by God the Father. And even though many people will see and know that Jesus was the Christ on the day of his crucifixion, many of them will harden their hearts to Christ and to the light and return to the darkness. But there will come a day when that's no longer possible. A day when Jesus Christ will return in glory, having been lifted up by the Father, exalted by the Father. It's the same word that's used in the scriptures. All men will see him, and all knees will bow to him, and all tongues will confess to him that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And John tells us here in verse 30 that many believed in him. But we need to be careful that we don't place too much emphasis on the fact that he believed in him, because it is this group of so-called believers that Jesus goes on to describe in the same chapter as descendants of the devil himself. And these folks were merely assenting to the truthfulness of Christ's words intellectually, but they weren't trusting and resting upon Christ as Savior, which is so sad considering what we've seen about those who walk in darkness. However, perhaps not all of them died in their unbelief. John says at the beginning of this gospel that the light has come into the world and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is about the business of overcoming darkness with his light. And so long as there is breath in their lungs, there is hope for them. So long as there is breath in their lungs, the call to them will be, Jesus is the light of the world. Walk in him. And friends, as long as there is breath in your lungs or in the lungs of your unbelieving family members or friends or neighbors or co-workers, there is hope for them because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And God shines through Jesus Christ into darkened hearts that they would see the knowledge and the glory of the face of Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. So friends, Jesus is the light of the world. Walk in him. He's been so gracious to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the light that it shines in this world and in our own lives. And Lord, we pray you would give us the grace to respond to it. Help us to believe. Help us in our unbelief to trust the word of your Son. We pray these things in his name. Amen.